You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, we've got some interesting news developments here that we want to share with you on this Football Friday. Vic Carucci with you, by the way, along with Michael Regai, who is filling in for Nathan Segura. Before we do that, though, we want to tell you that the 2014 Cleveland Browns season tickets are on sale now. Secure the best seats at the best prices to cheer on your Cleveland Browns at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. All right, Chase Goodbread. He is a correspondent for NFL Network's College 24/7. He's a reporter. College Football 24/7 is a new segment they created over at NFL.com and NFL Network. And he is reporting, he tweeted this, that Derek Carr, the Fresno State quarterback we were talking about, is going to have a personal visit with the Browns. So take note of that. Take note of this. DeSean Jackson, the speedy and dynamic wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, has been released. He's available.
Yep.
Wow. So that's something to maybe chew on and see what that all means. And I'm not sure if it's some already a lot of people in social media in the Twitter world want to connect dots and say, okay, isn't that a perfect guy to for the Browns to pick up? And I'm not so sure that's the case. There's a reason he's been let go, but we'll see. I love his talent, but, you know, if Chip Kelly isn't finding use for him and doesn't see a fit for him, doesn't mean no one else will or should, but it's just something to think about. And here's another one, and this is not a shocker at all, Michael. The Houston Texans reportedly trying to trade the number one pick, and I would think that makes sense, even though it doesn't have the onerous dollars attached to it and guaranteed money that the top overall pick once had. It's still a case where maybe they feel on value, and I think what they're trying to sell potentially is the team that wants Blake Bortles or that wants that quarterback. Maybe it's Johnny Manziel. Who knows? Whoever somebody has ranked at the top of the quarterback list and says, we're not getting that guy unless we jump ahead of, you know, Cleveland, Jacksonville, whoever, although I think it's Cleveland would be the main team you're trying to get in front of
right.
to get that pick.
Yeah, well, and we know Bill O'Brien. He's got quite a heavy quarterback decision laying in his lap, as we know, yeah. Vic, and he was very prominent yesterday. And yet, and you and I talked about this, I would think the pressure is probably enormous. And not that O'Brien is going to cave, I don't mean it that way, but consensus has been that it might be Blake Bortles, right? Overall number one.
That's now, been the conventional wisdom.
Right. And if they're in that kind of mode that if this becomes legitimate and they're in mode to deal that overall number one, this is going to be very, very intriguing because they have the gaping hole there, and we all expected them to, without question, be looking at their next franchise quarterback with that overall number one.
Let's go to Eddie in Westlake. Eddie, what do you got?
Yeah, how you guys doing today?
What's up, Ed?
Hey, I just wanted to I like the discussion about the top three quarterbacks.
Sure.
I have them rated Bridgewater, Bortles, and Carr.
What do you like about Bridgewater, Ed?
What I like about Bridgewater is Bridgewater is ready to go. First of all, Bridgewater has been the number one guy coming out of high school, number one guy coming out of college. Now, I know he had a questionable pro day, but this is a guy that's been doing everything that you want a quarterback to be doing already. It's a guy that's been making his own reads. He's been playing quarterback for the 3 years he's been in college. And when you got – I don't know if we noticed or not, but Jimmy Haslam is having people on a short leash. So you don't have time to figure out whether guys are going to project down the road 2 or 3 years. It'd be nice, guys, if we was in the 80s and the 90s, and but we're not. Today, they want you to turn something around in a year or two. Guys don't hold a clipboard and learn and sit there. Aaron Rodgers, all that. Those days are over with. When you draft these guys in the first round,
gotta
or even
play.
Sometimes in the second round, you're ready to play them. And so the Browns are quarterback away. They got a lot of weapons. They just have, just haven't had that franchise type quarterback. This is a guy that's been doing everything. He wants to play quarterback. He wants to do everything in the pocket. He can move, but he can do everything in the pocket. He can make every throw that's needed. I mean, and he's a leader. The guy, and then this is the other thing, the key, I think. The guy lives and breathes football. See, when you when when you start understanding at these different levels, you can't get away with, you know, I talked to one of the guys from Tech. You guys interviewed one of the guys from Texas A&M or one of the stations there.
One of the
And the guy was talking about, you know, spring ball. He kind of like made it. Sometimes he came, sometimes he didn't. You're not going to switch that light on in 6 months. I mean, he can say all the right things right now, but if he doesn't live and breathe football, is he just going to all of a sudden do it now that he's a, you know, multi-millionaire? He's already coming from a family with a wealthy family, so the money, I mean, maybe a part of it, but, you know, it's not probably something that he's not used to already. But the fact of the matter is this guy's not putting everything into football. Not to mention, I guess I got to look at it again. There's two guys that are playing this game at 6 foot. Drew Brees is one of them. He's a guy that has excellent pocket presence, and when he's under pressure, he can deliver balls on time when getting hit in the mouth. The other one is Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson uses his legs to extend plays. But once again, he wants to be in the pocket. This kid does wants nothing to do with it, being in the pocket. And and if you thought RG3, you know, when he had everybody was talking about he was a running quarterback and he was a guy that completed 70% of his passes. With that frame, you're just not going to last.
Eddie, thank you so much. That's a great and thorough analysis, and we greatly appreciate you participating and ranking with that. Brandon in Brunswick, what do you got, Brandon?
Hey guys, how are you guys doing today?
All right, buddy. Brandon.
Good. I just want to talk about my top three. I have Johnny Football number one. I have Blake Bortles number two. And the guy that no one seems to be talking about other than a few people that I really love is Aaron Murray at three. Aaron Murray isn't the all-time SEC passing leader by mistake. I think the guy's legitimate. I think there's too much stock put into pro days and combines, like you guys were kind of saying earlier. And when it comes to strapping it up, I mean, he delivers.
No, he does. Coming off the ACL, and I think Murray also is 6'3", I believe.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yep. Yeah. Well, interesting. Again,
I like Murray too. By the way,
I do too, and I like the plays he made. And Nathan Zagura and I have talked a lot about some of these other guys, Mettenberger, Murray, the so-called next tier or however many tiers down they are, and guys that would be available closer to that mid-round area. And what does it mean? I mean, how interested, how excited do you have to be, or should you be about them? And of course, you could find a great quarterback there. We know NFL history tells us that, but that ability to catch lightning in a bottle, that ability to say, you know, go for that guy there. You have him ranked. If you do have him ranked there, you have him ranked there for a reason. There are a lot of flaws. There are a lot of things you don't like about him. And for the same reasons you want to stay true to a board that tells you to pick a player in the top five, Michael, you want to stay true to a board that tells you to pick a player in the mid or late round.
That's right. Absolutely. You can't start detouring from your board just because you get into the third or fourth round. Couple of names, though, Vic, we didn't. I wanted to mention these guys yesterday. I really think that the Browns, remember, Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine have kind of given allusion there might be as many as 8 or 10 quarterbacks they really want to take a look at. I think there are a couple, Tom, and I'm talking about later rounds now, Vic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, later rounds. Maybe rounds 4, 5 to 7. Keep an eye on Tom Savage, the big 6'5", 235-pound quarterback from Pitt, played for the Pitt Panthers. And I also think Logan Thomas intrigues them, Vic. Virginia Tech, the big fella, you know, 6'6", about 250 pounds. So now these are quarterbacks, obviously, on the large end with the tremendous classic size. And, again, I'm talking down here in the late lower rounds. But I do think Browns are very much going to look at – they're not going to leave any stone unturned when it comes to having maybe 10 quarterbacks that they really want to take a look at.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I think it makes sense to do your due diligence and have a lot of depth to your research. So 10 quarterbacks doesn't mean that you love all 10 of them to be drafted in the first round, obviously. It means maybe one, maybe two of them are first-round choices, or none of them. But it means that you're looking at a list of 10, and that's what you should have. And I don't know that that's going to apply to every position. I think in this particular draft, it makes sense. I think you're easily going to have more receivers than that to look at and like through that would be available through, say, the first few rounds of this draft, maybe longer than that. Cornerbacks, another position with great depth. So I think there's that same, if you're applying that same logic to deep positions, and if it's fair to say that quarterback has some decent depth here because you do like, people do like what they hear about the Murrays and the Mettenbergers and the other players. You know, Derek Carr's name comes up now maybe more as falling into the so-called elite category, whatever it is for 2014. But, you know, that's a conversation that is going to evolve, and it's good news that the Browns are looking far and wide at that quarterback position. They got to get it right. All right, we are going to talk with Paul Burmeister, a guy who was for NFL Network at the Johnny Manziel workout. Yesterday, we want to get his thoughts on Manziel, want to get his thoughts on the other top quarterbacks and quarterbacks in general in this draft. That is coming up. Sal Palantonio will be with us from ESPN at 2. So much quarterback discussion and what the Browns are going to do ahead for you. On Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, he is Michael Regei, filling in for Nathan Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci. This is ESPN 850 WKNR. That I ever told, paid for every heart that I ever stole.